Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Sukkah, Perek Vav. After two prakim about the structure of the sukkah, Perek Dalet about the walls and Perek Hey about the schach, this last perek of Hilchot Sukkah finally gets to the mitzvah to dwell in the sukkah. Before the Rambam formulates the mitzvah itself in Halacha Hey, he begins the perek with a list of people who are exempt from the mitzvah, similar to the beginning of Perek Bet regarding the mitzvah of shofar. Halacha Aleph: Nashim vavadim uktanim peturim nasuka, tumtum vaandroginus chayvim misafek, v'chein mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin chayav, katan sheino tzarich li'imo, shu kiven chamesh kiven sheish, chayav basukah midivrei sofrim kedei lechancho b'mitzvot. Exactly as regarding shofar, women are exempt from sukkah because it is a mitzvah asei shazman grama, and therefore avadim, who have the same level of mitzvah obligation as women, are exempt as well. Children are exempt midoraita, but obligated midrabanan, based on chinuch, from the age of 5 or 6, because this is the age at which a child is no longer completely dependent on his mother, who presumably will not be in the sukkah because of her exemption. The tumtum and androgynous are obligated in the mitzvah due to suffik, and the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin is also obligated due to his hybrid nature. We encountered all three of these people in Hilchot Shofar Perek Bet, and the listener is referred to that perek for more details of the identity and status of each one. Halacha Bet: Cholin umisham shehen peturim nasuka, velo chole sheyesh bo sakana, ela afilu chash berosho, vafilu chash beinav, mitzta'er patur min asuka, hu velo misham shav, ve'ezahu mitzta'er, ze she'ino yachol lishon basuka mipnei haruach, o mipnei hazvuvin, vaparoshin v'chayotzei behen, o mipnei hareach. One who is sick is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, even if there is no danger to his life, and even if he suffers only from a pain in his head or his eyes. His attendants are also exempt, but the Shulchan Aruch limits this to a situation where the patient needs the services of the attendants. The mitzta'er, one who is uncomfortable or in pain, is exempt from the mitzvah as well, but only him and not his attendants. Examples of mitzta'er include someone who cannot sleep in the sukkah due to the wind, flies, mosquitoes, or bad smell inside the sukkah. Note that the Rambam speaks of the mitzta'er only as someone who has difficulty sleeping in the sukkah, as this is more challenging than eating in the sukkah. But the din applies equally to eating. For example, if the lights go out in the sukkah, and there is no possibility to move into a neighbor's sukkah to eat. The Rama clarifies two important parameters of this exemption of mitzta'er. First, one may only claim to be mitzta'er based on something which typically causes discomfort, like the examples brought by the Rambam, not based on something more arbitrary, like, for example, the sound of birds chirping. Second, mitzta'er can only exempt a person from sukkah if the discomfort or pain is removed by leaving the sukkah. Halacha Gimel brings the example of a mourner, an avel, who is obligated in sukkah despite his anguish, because leaving the sukkah will do nothing to alleviate it. The Rama, in a notable chumrah, writes that if one builds a sukkah in a place where eating is manageable, but sleeping is not due to mitzta'er, for example, if there is a wind in that place strong enough to keep him from falling asleep, then the sukkah is entirely psula and cannot be used even for eating. The Mishnah Berurah writes that others reject this chumrah and consider the sukkah to be ksheira for purposes of eating. Halacha Gimel says that a chatan and his entourage are exempt from sukkah during the 7 days of Sheva Brachot. But Achronim, including the Aruch HaShulchan, believe that this exemption does not exist nowadays. It was relevant when the chuppah was not only where the marriage ceremony took place, as is nowadays, but a place of residence for the chatan and kala during the Sheva Brachot period, where they would be waited upon by an entourage of attendants. As this is no longer the case, a chatan is obligated in sukkah just like any other male adult. Halacha Dalet: Shluchei mitzvah peturim min hasukkah ben bayom ben balayla. Holchei drachim bayom, peturin min hasukah bayom, v'chayavin balayla. Holchei drachim balayla, peturin min hasukah balayla, v'chayavin bayom. Someone traveling from place to place for a mitzvah purpose is exempt from sukkah, both during the day and at night. However, the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah rule that if it is easy enough to find access to a sukkah for eating and sleeping, and assuming that sleeping in the sukkah will not cause him to be too tired the next day to carry out his mitzvah task, then even the shliach mitzvah is obligated in sukkah. Travelers, holchei drachim, are exempt from sukkah during whatever part of the day they are traveling. The scope of this exemption is debated among poskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that it applies only to travel for business, not for pleasure, and therefore he ruled that one may not go on a hike or any similar recreational outing on which he will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Other poskim are more lenient, either based on a more expansive understanding of the exemption of holchei drachim, or based on the idea that a recreational outing may have inherent value as an expression of simchat haregel. Within Eretz Yisrael, there is also the consideration that spending time in nature, exploring the land, may qualify as a fulfillment of mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But as Mori Verabi Rav Aaron Lichtenstein pointed out, despite the technical considerations which may allow for a lenient psak, the mitzvah of sukkah is one which observant Jews have always been very careful to fulfill properly, even in the face of adverse circumstances, and it seems incongruous in the extreme to plan a trip during Sukkot, which necessitates foregoing this mitzvah. One should consult a knowledgeable rav for practical advice in any situation where participation in a trip necessitates eating or sleeping outside a sukkah. Continuing in Halacha Daled, Shomrei Ha'ir Bayom, Peturim Nasukah Bayom, V'chayvin Balayla. Shomrei Ha'ir Balayla, Peturim Nasukah Balayla, V'chayvin Bayom. Shomrei Ganot Ufardesim, Peturim Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. Shim Yaseh Shomer Sukah, Yeda Ganav, Sheish La Shomer Makom Kavua, V'yavo V'yignov Makom Acher. Those who guard the city during the day are exempt from Sukkah during the day, but obligated at night. And the reverse is true for those who guard the city at night. Those who guard an orchard or a garden are exempt both during the day and at night. If any of these guards were to build a sukkah in some part of the area he is guarding, then a potential thief would know that he can steal from some other part of it. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch rules that if the guard of the city, garden, or orchard stays in one place throughout the day in any event, then he is obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. And the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah rule that the same holds for a storekeeper who typically sits in his store throughout the day. Halacha Hei gives a source and a description of the mitzvah of sukkah. Ketzad hi mitzvat ha'yishiva basukkah, sheyeh ochel v'shoteh v'dar basukkah kol shivat hayamim, bein bayom bein balayla, kederech shu dar beveito b'shar yimot ha'shana, v'chol shivat hayamim oseh adam et beito arai v'tzukato keva, שנאמר בסוכות תשבו שבעת ימים. כיצד? כלים הנאים ומצאות הנאות בסוכה. וכלי שתייה כגון עשישות וחוסות בסוכה. אבל כלי אכילה כגון כדירות וכערות חוץ לסוכה. המנורה בסוכה. ואם הייתה סוכה קטנה, מניחה חוץ לסוכה. There is one mitzvah related to sukkah in the kotaret of these halachot, and that is to dwell in the sukkah for 7 days, based on the pasuk in Parshat Emor of Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. One must live in the sukkah during the 7 days of Sukkot in the same manner that he lives in his house during the rest of the year. The phrase used by the Gemara to express this principle is Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru. By doing this, he makes his sukkah into a permanent home during that time, and his house into a temporary dwelling. One should bring his nice sheets, blankets, and eating utensils to the sukkah to use there, but pots and pans used for food preparation should stay in the home. The sukkah should contain a lamp, unless the sukkah is very small, in which case the lamp should be placed outside the sukkah. The reason for this is one of three. It may be that the lamp itself is not a very pleasant kli because of the oil and dirt on it, and if the sukkah is small, then it suffices to have a light outside it, or because the lamp produces fumes, which can cause discomfort in a confined space, or that there is a greater danger of the lamp causing a fire in a small sukkah. Halacha Vav, Ochlin v'shotin v'sheinin basukkah kol shiva, bein bayom bein balayla, ואסור לאכול סעודה חוץ לסוכה כל שבעה, אלא אם כן אכל אכילת ארעי כביצה או פחות או יותר מעט, ואין ישנין חוץ לסוכה, ואפילו שנת ארעי,
ומותר לשתות מים ולאכול פירות חוץ לסוכה, ומי שיחמיר לעצמו ולא ישתה חוץ לסוכה אפילו מים, הרי זה משובח. The specific actions which one must perform in the sukkah are eating, drinking, and sleeping. One may not eat a meal outside the sukkah during the entire 7 days, but may eat an achilat arai, a snack or non-meal type of eating, in the amount of a kibbetza or slightly more. The Shulchan Aruch draws the line at a kibbetza, not slightly more, and adds that even a mezonot food may be eaten outside the sukkah if one is not koveh su'uda on it. Most achronim disagree, and rule that any more than a kibbetza of mezonot foods must be eaten in the sukkah. The Rambam writes that one may eat fruit and drink water outside the sukkah. The one who is machmir not to drink even water outside the sukkah is considered praiseworthy. We'll come back later in the perek to the question of when to make a bracha on eating the sukkah. Unlike achilat arai, which is permitted outside the sukkah, the Rambam writes here that sheinat arai, temporary sleeping like a nap, is forbidden and may only be done inside the sukkah. The Gemara gives two reasons for this distinction between achilat arai and sheinat arai. One is that one who takes a nap may unintentionally end up sleeping for a much longer period. The second reason is that unlike achilat arai, which will only satisfy a person for a short time before he needs to eat again, a nap can sometimes be a period of deep sleep which reinvigorates a person despite its short duration. A term often used for this nowadays is power nap. Regarding sleeping in general, there developed a custom in Europe during the time of the Rishonim not to sleep in the sukkah. This is attested to by the Meiri and the Mordechai on Masechet Sukkah, and is recorded as well in the commentary of Rabbeinu Manoach on this halacha. The main reason for this seems to have been the cold and wind which prevailed in parts of Europe at that time of year, and a general sense that tolerance of the discomfort caused by these weather conditions has decreased over the generations. The conclusion of the Mordechai is that due to these factors, nowadays we all have the status of a chole, or at least of a mitzta'er, who is exempt from sukkah as we saw. The Ramah doesn't accept this explanation, as the custom was practiced even in places and times where and when the weather during Sukkot was relatively pleasant. He suggests a different explanation. Since it is generally impractical for husband and wife to sleep together in the sukkah, as they do inside the home, sleeping in the sukkah mandates separation of husband and wife, which subverts and contradicts the principle of teshvu ke'ein taduru. Therefore, a person is considered mitzta'er and does not need to sleep in the sukkah, unless he and his wife can sleep together if they are able to build a private sukkah for this purpose. This explanation is also very difficult, as later Achronim point out. After all, the custom is not only for married men to sleep indoors, but for single men as well. Many later Achronim, including the Aruch HaShulchan, the Gra, and the Mishnah Berurah, reject the entire custom, and rule unequivocally that one should sleep in the sukkah whenever this doesn't cause significant discomfort due to the cold or wind. The more prevalent custom in Eretz Yisrael, where the temperature is usually very mild during Sukkot, is to sleep in the sukkah, while in Chutz Laaretz, different customs prevail in different places. Because lenient customs exist, many Achronim rule that if someone falls asleep outside the sukkah, there is no need to wake him up, even if he generally is careful to sleep in the sukkah. Halacha Zayin. Achila b'leile yom tov harishom l'sukkah, chova. Afilu achal kazayit pat, yatzai dei chovato. Mikan va'elach, reshut, ratza l'chol suda, soe basuka, ratza ino ochel kol shiva ele perot o klayot chutz lasuka, ochel, kedin achilat matzah befesach. Chazal have the tradition that there is a gzeira shava connecting the holidays of Sukkot and Pesach, based on the fact that both begin on the 15th of the month. From this, the Gemara learns that just as on Pesach there is a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night, while there is no obligation to eat matzah on the rest of the holiday, just to avoid chametz, a similar phenomenon exists on Sukkot. On the first night, one must eat bread in the sukkah, while during the rest of the holiday, one has no obligation to eat in the sukkah. He must only avoid eating a meal outside the sukkah, as we saw in Halacha Vav, but he may subsist on non-meal foods like fruit and roasted grain outside the sukkah after the first night. Of course, on any day of Shabbat or Yom Tov, one must have meals with bread, and therefore must eat them in the sukkah. But this is an external requirement of Oneg Shabbat v'Yom Tov, which coincidentally involves the sukkah, and is not part of the mitzvah of sukkah per se. The Rama extends this connection between the first night of Sukkot and the first night of Pesach to include other details. One should wait until nightfall, Tzeitah Kochavim, to eat the sukkah on the first night, and he must eat the kazaita bread before Chatzot, just like we do with matzah on the Seder night. While the Rambam writes that the mitzvah on the first night is to eat a kazaita of bread in the sukkah, other Rishonim believe that the mitzvah is to eat a kibetza of bread, either two or three times as much. This isn't merely a technical debate. Rav Soloveitchik explains that there are two ways to understand the mitzvah to eat in the sukkah on the first night. The Rambam understands it as unrelated to the general mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah is to treat the sukkah like one's home, which includes eating there any achilat keva, that is, more than a kibetza of meal foods. On the first night, there is an entirely distinct mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, learned from matzah on the Seder night, and the shear of that is a kazayit, like any other mitzvah of eating. But the other Rishonim understand that the mitzvah on the first night is not an entirely separate mitzvah. Rather, it too is a mitzvah to live in the sukkah, just like the remaining 7 days, except that on the first night, this mitzvah is manifested in an absolute chiyuv to eat a meal in the sukkah of the type he would normally eat in his home. Therefore, the amount he must eat is the same as the amount which requires a sukkah during the rest of the holiday, that is, a kibetza. As we'll see shortly, this fundamental debate about the nature of the mitzvah of the first night may have ramifications for another din as well. Halacha chet. Mi shaya roshov rubo basukah v'shulchano betoch beito, o chutz lasukah v'achal, harei ze asur. Uchi'ilu lo achal basukah, ad shiye shulchano betoch hasukah. Gzera shema yimashech achar shulchano, v'afilu besukah gdola. One may not eat while the table on which he is eating is outside the sukkah, even if he himself is sitting in the sukkah, and even if his sukkah is very large. This is due to a gzera, that he may be drawn after his table and end up eating outside the sukkah. Halacha tet, kol shivat hayamim korei betoch hasukkah, u'cheshemevin u'medakdek v'mashi yikra, yavin chutz lasukkah, kedei shetie dato miyushevet alav, hamitpalel ratza mipalel basukkah, o chutz lasukkah. When one learns Torah during the holiday, this should be done in the sukkah. But if he is learning bi'iyun, or encounters some difficulty in his learning, and he needs to concentrate more than he is able to do inside the sukkah, then he may leave the sukkah in order to focus his attention properly and understand what he is learning. Tefillah may be done either inside or outside the sukkah. There is no preference for davening inside the sukkah, and certainly no justification to miss tefillah b'tzibur in order to do so. Halacha yud. Yardu geshamim, harei ze nichnas letoch habayit. Meimatai mutar lefanot, mi sheyardu letoch hasukah tipot sheim yiplu letoch hatavshil yipased, afilu letavshil shel pol. If it begins to rain while one is in the sukkah, then he should leave and go into his house. He may leave the sukkah when enough rain falls to ruin his food, even if he is eating a cooked dish made of beans, which is ruined by a very small amount of water. If one is in the sukkah but not eating anything when it begins to rain, then the Rama provides a simple test to determine if he is exempt from the mitzvah. If he would leave his house, were this amount of rain to fall into his house, then he may leave the sukkah as well. This is based on the principle of teshvu ke'en taduru. One must live in the sukkah in the same manner that he lives in his house. Continuing in Halacha Yud, Haya uchel basukah v'yardu gshamim v'nichas lebeito u'pasku agshamim, Ein mechayvin oto lachzor lasukah al shigmor sudato. Haya yashen v'yardu gshamim balayla v'nichnas letoch habayit u'pasku agshamim, ein matrichin oto lachzor lasukah kol oto halayla el yishan b'veito ad shiale amud hashachar. If one was eating in the sukkah and then entered his house because of rain and continued his meal there, he does not need to return to the sukkah as soon as the rain stops. Rather, he may continue eating his meal in the house and must return to the sukkah only when he finishes his meal. This is based on the exemption of mitzta'er. Once someone is in the middle of a meal in his home, to relocate completely to the sukkah is very tedious and causes discomfort, so the exemption of mitzta'er applies. Regarding sleeping, the amount of rain which exempts a person from sleeping in the sukkah is smaller than the amount which exempts him from eating there, as sleeping in the rain is extremely uncomfortable. Here too, if he goes into his house to continue sleeping, and then the rain stops, he does not need to be woken up to return to the sukkah, but may continue to sleep in the house until Amud HaShachar, when light begins to appear on the horizon, This is significantly earlier than sunrise. From the Rambam, it sounds like he must be woken up at Amud HaShachar, but Achronim rule that he need not be woken up even then. And similarly, someone who wakes up by himself in the middle of the night before Amud HaShachar does not need to return to the sukkah, even if it's not raining, but may go back to sleep in the house. The Rishonim and Poskim discuss an interesting question. What if it rains on the first night? We saw in Halacha Zayin that there is a special mitzvah to eat a kazayit of bread in the sukkah on the first night. Does the exemption of mitzta'er apply to this unique requirement of the first night, like it applies during the rest of the holiday? This question would seem to depend on the two understandings of the special mitzvah of the first night that we suggested in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. If the mitzvah on the first night is a chiyuv to demonstrate dwelling in the sukkah by eating there, then the parameters should be the same as during the rest of the holiday, and he should be exempt in a case of rain based on mitzta'er. But if the mitzvah of the first night is a completely separate obligation to eat in the sukkah, like one eats matzah at the Seder, unrelated to the mitzvah to live in the sukkah all 7 days, as the Rambam seems to believe, then it is entirely possible that there is no exemption of mitzta'er, and one must eat in the sukkah even in the rain. This is indeed the psak of the Ramah. Other Rishonim disagree and apply the Ptura of mitzta'er on the first night. To be yotzei according to both opinions, the Mishnah Berurah rules, in case of rain on the first night, to eat in the sukkah without the bracha of leishe basukkah, to avoid a bracha levatala in case he is really exempt because of mitzta'er. If possible, one should wait a while before eating to see if the rain will stop, so that he can make a bracha of leishe basukkah. But he should not wait so long that this detracts from the simchat yom tov of himself or of his family members who wish to eat a meal. Halacha Yud Aleph. Gamar mi lechol bayom ashvi b'shacharit, lo yatir sukato, ava morid hu et kelav u'mefane otam min amincha v'mala. Ein lo makom lefanot, pochet ba'arba'a al arba'a. Vim butzrach lis'od b'shar hayom, tzarich lechol basuka, shmitzvata kol shiva. This halacha refers to Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, where there is no mitzvah to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Halacha Yud Aleph will discuss what is done in Chutz Laretz. When one finishes his morning meal on the 7th and last day of Sukkot, meaning that he is unlikely to eat any more in the sukkah before the end of the holiday, he should not dismantle the sukkah in case he decides to use it later that day for another meal or any other activity. Rather, he empties the sukkah of all the nice kelim he brought there, which he now returns to the house to use on Shmini Atzeret. If he wishes to continue eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, which is ordinarily problematic based on the halacha of Baal Tosif, he must disqualify the sukkah before the start of Yom Tov by taking out a 4x4 tefach portion of the schach. Since the sukkah is no longer valid for the mitzvah, eating there does not constitute Baal Tosif. Halacha Yud Bet. Kol zman shikanes leshev asukah kol shiva, melarech kodem sheyeshev, baruch atah Hashem lekenim alacholam, asher k'rishon mustav esivanu leshev asukah. Uvelele yom tov harishon, melarech al asukah, v'achar kach melarech al hazman, umesader kol habrachot al hakos. Nimtza mekadesh meumad, umelarech leshev asukah, v'yoshev, v'achar kach melarech al hazman. וחזה היה מנהג רבותיי ורבי ספרד לקדש מעומד בלילי ראשון של חג הסוכות כמו שביארנו. One must make the bracha of Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah B'Sivanu Lashev HaSukkah whenever he goes into the sukkah in order to sit inside. This bracha is incorporated into Kiddush of the first night, and it is said before Shechianu, so that the Shechianu can cover both the holiday itself, as we say Shechianu at the start of every holiday, and the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. Even though Kiddush is normally recited while sitting down, on the first night of Sukkot, we stand for Kiddush and only sit down right after the bracha of leishe basukkah, in keeping with the principle of over la'asiyatan. A bracha on a mitzvah must be made before the mitzvah itself is performed. Therefore, one may only sit in the sukkah after reciting the bracha of leishe basukkah at the end of Kiddush. The Rambam's assumption here is that the bracha is on the very act of sitting down in the sukkah, even without doing anything else. The Raiva disagrees and believes that the bracha is on eating in the sukkah. Therefore, Kiddush may be recited while sitting down, as this does not violate the rule of Over La'asiyatan. How does the phrase Leshev Basukah imply eating rather than sitting? The Ravid would respond that the word leshev in the bracha, just like the word teshvu in the pasuk, which is the source of this mitzvah, does not mean to sit in the physical sense, but rather to dwell. We saw back in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud, that the Rambam and Ravid argued the exact same point in the context of the pasuk of lo yeshvu ba'artzacha, about not allowing idol worshippers to be yoshvim in Eretz Yisrael. There, too, the Rambam understands the word to refer even to a temporary stay, while the Ravid understands it to mean permanent dwelling. Beyond the linguistic debate about the meaning of the word leshev, the Rambam and Ravid also debate what constitutes a fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah, or at least enough of a fulfillment to warrant a bracha. The consensus among poskim is to reject the view of the Rambam that any act of sitting in the sukkah deserves a bracha. And both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say to make a bracha only before eating there, or while eating if he forgets to make the bracha earlier. The custom of Ashkenazim is to make a bracha any time one eats more than a kibetza of bread or of mezonot foods, while Sfardim make the bracha only on a substantial suda of at least 3 kibetzim. There are extensive discussions among poskim regarding other cases, like one who stays in a sukkah from one meal to the next, or one who plans to spend significant time in a sukkah, though he has no plans to eat there. When, under what circumstances, do these people need to make a bracha? The listener is referred to the halachic literature for further details. Halacha Yud Gimel. Bazman hazeh she'anu osin shnei yamim, yoshvin basukah shmona yamim. Uvayom hashmini, shu yom tov rishon shel shmini atzeret, yoshvin ba ve'ein v'rachin l'shei basukah. Nowadays that we have 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, we treat the 8th day, Shmini Atzeret, as if it may really be the 7th day, and therefore we sit in the sukkah on the 8th day. However, there is no bracha of Leshei Basukah recited on the 8th day. Why not? From the next line we'll read in a moment about Tumtum and Androgynous, it sounds like the reason is because we don't make a bracha on a suffix. But the Kesef Mishnah points out a problem with this. On every Yom Tov Sheni, we make all the bracha that we make on Yom Tov Rishon, despite the fact that the day is only celebrated based on a suffix. So why not make a Leshei Basukah when it may be the 7th day of Sukkot? The Kesef Mishnah's answer is that the real reason we don't make a bracha is to avoid the potential zilzul, disrespect of Shmini Atzeret. If today is Shmini Atzeret, on which there is no mitzvah of sukkah, then why are we sitting in the sukkah as if it were Sukkot? By skipping the bracha, we indicate that this isn't exactly like Sukkot, and this neutralizes the affront to the holiday of Shmini Atzeret. Continuing in Halacha Yud Gimel, V'chein tumtum v'androgynus. La'olam ein mevarchin leishev, mipnei shehen chayavin misafek, ve'ein mevarchin misafek. The Tumtum and the Androgynous both do not make the bracha of leishev asukah, because their obligation in the mitzvah is only based on safek, and we do not recite a bracha on a safek. The Rambam has a double chiddush in this line, one which is new to us and one which we've seen before, and both of which are rejected by the Ravid in his Asaga here. The assumption which underlies this entire psak is that a woman may not make a bracha when she performs a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. For if she may, then why can't the tumtum and androgynous do so? Whichever side of each one's suffix is correct, each one is no worse than a woman. This is a major debate among Rishonim, which filters down to a machloket lahalacha between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Sfardim follow the view of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that a woman who does a mitzvah taseh shazman grama from which she is exempt, like sukkah or lulav, does not make a bracha. Ashkenazim follow the view of Reinu Tam, the Ravid, and the Ramah, that a woman makes a bracha when she performs a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. The second chiddush of the Rambam in this halacha is that even when one is obligated in a mitzvah doraita due to safek, based on the general rule of safek doraita lechumra, like the tumtum and androgynous regarding sukkah, the birchata mitzvah, which is midrabanan, follows the rule of safek derabanan lekula and therefore is skipped. We've already seen in Hilchot Mila Paragimel, regarding the Mila of an androgynous, that the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam on this point. He repeats his disagreement here, and the listener is referred to our Shir in Hilchot Mila for further details. We summarize the remaining halachot of the Perek. In Chutz Laretz, after one finishes eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, he removes his kalim and empties the sukkah. If he has no room in his house and wants to continue eating in the sukkah on the second day of Yom Tov, Simcha Torah, as we call it now, then like in Halacha Yud Aleph, he must do something to indicate that he is not eating there as an act of mitzvah anymore, to avoid violating Baal Tosef. But here, there is no option to remove schach and invalidate the sukkah, like he would do in the situation on the seventh day of Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, because Shmini Atzeret is Yom Tov, and removing schach is a violation of the malacha of Soter. So instead, he brings into the sukkah utensils which he typically keeps outside, like a lamp if the sukkah is small, or pots and pans if the sukkah is big. We mentioned these back in Halacha Hey, to indicate that the use of the sukkah for a mitzvah purpose has ended. The parak closes with two distinct isurim to use different parts of the sukkah during the holiday for any purpose other than fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. The first isur applies to the basic structure of the sukkah, the walls as well as the schach, and is a din d'oraita learned from the pasuk in Parshat Emor of Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim Lashem. As the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Chal Shem Shemaim ala sukkah. The sukkah is similar to hekdesh and may not be used for anything other than the mitzvah. We note in passing that the Rosh believes, against the Rambam, that this isur of Chal Shem Shemaim ala sukkah applies only to the schach and not to the walls, because the essence of the sukkah is its schach, as we discussed in the last parak. The listener is referred to a very short and beautiful piece in Chidushei Rav Chaim Halevi on this halacha, which explains the machloket between the Rambam and the Rosh about the scope of this isser. Since the isser of Chal Shem Shemaim ala sukkah applies for 7 full days to the schach of the sukkah, and for the Rambam to its walls, these items are automatically muksa for the 8th day as well, because they were forbidden during Bein HaShemashot when the 8th day began. What about decorations, including food items hung inside the sukkah? These are not subject to the din d'oraita we just mentioned, but are certainly subject to the usual iser d'rabbanan of muktza, like any object set aside specifically for mitzvah use during Shabbat or Yom Tov, which may not be used for any other purpose. But like some other forms of muktza, one can stipulate in advance of the holiday that he plans to use these items during the holiday, in which case they do not become muktza, and one may use them whenever he wishes. We emphasize that a stipulation only works for the muktzah derabbanan of the decorations, not at all for the iser doraita of the schach and walls of the sukkah, that is, the din of Chal Shem Shemaim ala sukkah, based on the pasuk of Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim Lashem.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.